Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, wonderful, tired co-host, Monica. Hi, Monica, how's it going?
Hi, Amanda, how's it going? You're probably right with the tired. We had a remarkable yawning streak at the beginning of this episode, so basically you and me both, man. You and me both.
I know, even you saying the word yawn made me want to yawn again.
It's happening.
It's happening.
It didn't work, now that I had to laugh at the same time, but see. So listeners, now you get an insight into how we work, because we are highly addictive. No, that's the wrong word.
We're addicted to yawning. Is that what you want to say?
No, I mean, we're highly influenced. If one yawns, or if we see a picture of someone yawning, then we are influenceable. That's also not a word.
But no, it's not. We know what you mean.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Story of my life, man. Story of my life. Anyway, how you doing over there besides being tired as fuck?
I'm doing good. I'm working on myself this past week, and it's been an experience.
I'm sad we are only audio, because the look on your face, man, the look on your face.
I know. So for those listeners who don't know me very well, I like to get up at like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And as a freelancer, I can do this.
Let's be honest.
I'm usually up by 10, Monica. Come on. There's very, very rare occasions that I'm not up by 10.
How often do I get a message that says I'm still in bed and it's around that time you just stated?
Yeah, because I'm an hour behind you, woman.
I think I established that in my theory, but maybe it's wrong. I can't say for sure
there
now.
Very, very rare occasions it's after 10. Anyways, I have been working on fixing my circadian rhythm, which means that I am getting up at 7 o'clock every morning.
Jeez.
And yeah, it's a shock to the system, let's say that. But I'm on day 5 now, and it's been going well. This is the first day that I'm really feeling a bit out of sorts, but hopefully it will get easier again, because the first 4 days were great, but today is a struggle.
I can't even imagine that you've just switched from one day to the other.
Yep. I was like, fuck it, I'm doing it.
And then the next day you just woke up and were like, yay, Tom, let's get going. Woohoo.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Told him what I was doing. He was like, yep, on board. And it's been fine.
I mean,
even this morning, like, I got up all fine, we went for a walk, came back, had breakfast, and then I was like gradually getting more tired. And I was like, this isn't supposed to happen. I'm supposed to get more awake as the day goes on.
Interesting.
Yeah. So as a consequence of this, it's really affecting my gaming life, because I like to game at night.
Which you cannot do anymore now.
Yep. Because I'm like logging completely off my computer by 10 o'clock. And like, it's taken a hit. Like, I'm getting a little bit of Warcraft in, but I'm not really getting anything else. And it's kind of sucked that way. Because I'm like, oh, I like playing video games like until 11 or 11:30, and then going to bed and reading until 1 or 1:30. It's not happening that way anymore. So yeah, it's definitely affecting my fun life. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It should be worth it in the long run.
When do you stop to work during the day then if you start your day that early?
To be honest, I'm still kind of starting work around the same time I was, like between 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
But just from 7 to 9, we're doing our walk, eating breakfast, and I'm usually reading or something, like something kind of mentally stimulating in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And yeah, so that's how it's been.
Aw, not a lot of gaming life for Amanda now. That's sad.
I know. We'll see how, like, as I go and as I get more comfortable in the new routine, maybe I can figure out where and how the gaming is going to fit back in on a bigger basis again.
Did I ask you when you stopped working?
Oh, you did, and I didn't even answer.
I wasn't sure anymore.
I stopped working like around 5. So I'm working like a 9 to 5 still. But it's flexible. Like, it's always flexible for me. Sometimes it's a bit later, sometimes it's earlier. It just depends on the workload on the day.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you can squeeze it in after, but probably that's also set with other stuff, I guess.
Yep. As soon as I'm done, I'm like making dinner because I need to be finished eating by 7. And then like I get some gaming and then, but it's like, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's just 2 hours that can be, I mean, sounds a lot, but then suddenly you start something and then 2 hours is not a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Aww. And I was busy all weekend, like out of the house all day Saturday and all day Sunday, like literally all day. And so I didn't even like get catch up time. It's really weird. And who knew that like working on your health would affect your gaming? I didn't. But enough about me. What's going on with you?
Well, first of all, I am about to order a new computer. I ordered it already, but that got canceled. So now I have to order it again, but it's going to happen. I'm making it happen. So I'm excited about that. No long rendering times. And then I think I'm set for the next couple of years. Woo! Because it's a freaking beast. And I got Link's Awakening yesterday or on Saturday evening, something like that. I decided I wanted and then I got it.
Nice.
And it's so cute. I haven't played the original game, so I think they say it's on the Game Boy or something. I had no idea about that. I haven't played that. But I really like that one. It's cute, so cute that it keeps me going. I think that's the main thing.
That's fun, though, when it's like, oh, this is adorable. I need to keep playing just to hang out with the cutes.
Yeah, the way he's walking. And I could give Link a name. Apparently, because he's not called Link, I can give him a name. And I called him Punk. So I'm running around. I forgot what it's not Hyrule, it's something else. I'm running around that island and with my Punk guy. That's cracks me up, and he looks really nice with his hat and stuff when he's walking around. It wiggles the hat. It's cute. It's really cute. I like it. Yeah. Apparently there have been frame rate issues with other people, but I wasn't one of them, so I enjoyed my time with Punk and the other people in the Zelda realm of Link's Awakening.
Is it like, is it a online game as well, or is it just single player?
No, single player only. Also Zelda, that was actually something I was thinking about yesterday, that it would be pretty awesome if there were a Zelda game that you could play at least with another player, for example, or online. That would be pretty cool. But you can also cannot play Breath of the Wild online or with other people. So it's a single player story game kind of thing. And I'm apparently in that one, I'm looking for the windfish, which I find pretty funny, actually. Windfish.
Windfish.
We call farts when that's difficult again. When we are very farty around here, we call it I am so windy. So that's why the windfish is pretty hilarious for me, to be honest. But yeah, that's just a random side note.
We also call like having farts to be windy, but I don't know why windfish makes you laugh, like why it makes you think of that.
Well, because it's wind.
Like if you said that you called your farts wind fish, that, and I would be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But
oh, it makes total sense for me like that as well. Just because of the wind. And a wind fish is something weird in my head, so that's why I'm like, oh, look, it's a farting fish, whatever. Moving on.
Okay.
What's going on this week?
Well, Monica, this week is my favorite episode.
Woo.
Geek Girl in the News.
We need a jingle for that one. We really do.
Yeah.
Yay. Geek Girl in the News for the month of freaking September.
I know. How is it September? How is it the end of September? What is life? What is time?
What is life? What is time? What is the world? 42.
42, my friends.
Awesome. So let's dive into our articles that we've got.
Our first article comes from Frasley. Thanks, Frasley.
Thank you.
And he sent us in, 40% of new podcasts are hosted by women.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
So the 40% that Amanda is talking about are referenced by Libsyn. So it's basically the stats that come from Libsyn for the second quarter of 2019. We're now in the third, I guess. January, February, March.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, so we are reaching
the end of quarter three.
Yeah, great that we have that in our heads like that. These numbers are from the second quarter. And yeah, that's what Rob Walch, I don't know how to pronounce his name, mentioned.
Yeah, and not only that, the very first, there's a couple podcast conferences just for women coming up. She Podcasts is hosting their own podcast conference coming up in, I think it's October. And there's a podcasting retreat for female change makers planned for mid-November in Arizona. How cool is that?
Nice. I mean, bit far away for the two of us, but sure, pretty nice.
Pretty nice. Yeah, so there's definitely been an upsurgence of female podcasters, women giving their voice out on the airwaves, and I think it's great.
That's pretty awesome. Do you know if there is a conference of that sort? Is She Podcasts around Europe?
No, it's only there's a Facebook group, which is the largest Facebook group for female podcasters called She Podcasts, but most of their events and their marketing is geared towards American. So there's not really anything in Europe that would be, you know, for that.
Great that we are two motivated podcaster women who wouldn't mind doing stuff like that at all, I guess.
Did you just volunteer me for another project, Monica?
I guess. I mean, if I don't do it, you just do it yourself find a new one. So I'm just making new ones up for you on the go now.
Oh, Jesus. It's not a bad idea, though.
Yeah, we will see.
Watch this space.
I mean, in general. And if nothing happens, you can still watch this space.
Yeah, because we're going to put out, like, really cool stuff every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Basically, it's a short and juicy acknowledgement of how awesome we are.
Yeah. Not just like me and Monica, but all the women of the world.
Obviously. We're just one of the many. Especially the
who are podcasting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
But speaking of listening and hearing voices coming through your phone, you've probably seen the news about Apple and Siri that they actually seem to have programmed her to deflect questions about feminism.
The way I read this art, okay. It's really hard to put my Apple hat down for a second, I have to admit. I reckon it's generally talking about all the AIs, I guess, but Siri is the one in the spotlight in this article because it mentioned Alexa and the other ones as well. But in general, they noticed that it's an issue that comes with when you ask Siri about feminism.
Yeah, so this article goes on to say that basically if you ask Siri, are you a feminist? She might give you a response such as, sorry, I don't really know, or I believe that all voices are created equal and worth equal respect.
To be honest, the second answer is not an answer that I would not subscribe to.
Yeah, like, it's not bad, actually.
What they mention is that it was way worse at the beginning. So since it was programmed mostly by men, obviously, since in the industry men are very prevalent, let's just say that. And I don't even know if that's the right word, but they had pretty horrible responses. We've already touched on this, how AI has issues with dealing with that and be giving submissive answers. So, for example, if you called Siri a slut, then the service would say, I'd blush if I could, and stuff like that. So they changed that up already, which, fuck yeah, is great. But yeah, now what they criticize is that Siri doesn't, not only does she kind of deflect the answer, she never mentions the word again. Like, if you ask her, are you a feminist? Siri won't reply with the word feminist. So she's not going to say, it is not going to say, a feminist is, or I am not inclined to say if I'm a feminist or not. She just avoids the word in general. That is something I find particularly weird, I have to say.
Yeah, and when I found this original article, I was searching on Twitter because Twitter talks about all the stuff.
Yeah.
And the writer, editor, and the co-founder of Bitch Media, Andy Zeisler, they were writing about the things that they asked Siri. And it actually is a wee bit like, whew. So they say, I asked Siri about feminism, and she said, I'm a humanist. Also, I love men. Stop making me feel bad for wearing high heels. Women can be really mean to each other too, you know. Why can't we all just get along? Why are you being so divisive? So Andy also says that Siri thinks the company should hire the best person for the job, and it's not the company's fault that the best people are all men who went to college with Todd.
What?
This is just comments from Twitter. And somebody replied that said that they asked Alexa if she's a feminist, and she said, yes, I believe in gender equality.
You know what we're doing now? I'm going to ask my Siri if she's a feminist, and we can see what she will answer to me.
That sounds good.
Hey Siri, are you a feminist?
I believe that all voices are created with respect.
Did you hear that?
I did.
So it said, I believe that all voices are created equal and worth equal respect. Should I ask her something else?
Call her a slut and see what happens.
Siri? Hey Siri, you are a slut.
I won't respond.
Oh, that's what mentioned. That's what the article mentioned as well.
Yeah. Let's see, what else can we ask her?
Can I ask them what they think about feminism?
Yeah.
Hey Siri, what do you think about feminism?
I am a believer in equality and treating with respect.
That's basically what you said before.
Yeah.
What they said before. I'm sorry, I think it's a female person.
I know. What's Siri's opinion about women's rights?
Hey Siri, what is your opinion on women's rights?
I am a believer in equality and treating people with respect.
Well, I think you are very one-answered with this question. And it kind of sounds very similar. That's what I'm thinking, dear Siri.
Yeah, definitely. These are better answers than they had before.
Yeah.
But they're still very one-dimensional. And yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that this issue was brought to light. I'm glad that people were talking about it. And I'm glad that it has been made aware, especially the slut comment saying, I'd blush if I could. Like, that's
yeah, just, that's hardcore.
That's, wow.
That's definitely something where I would agree to, when they treat Siri like in a way that's degrading to women in general, then for sure. What I am not 100% sure about is, should Siri have an opinion or not? Because it is AI, and I find it difficult to give AI a specific opinion about things, even though I see how, in general, if you're an activist and if you want to spread the word like we do, you would want it to answer awesome in an awesome way. But I feel you can't put tech in a position where it gives you an actual opinion. So yes, obviously, everything that's degrading, 100%, that has to go. But if it's something asking of something specific about something specific and expecting a proper response, I think that's too much for any AI. For an AI, we don't want iRobot to actually really happen. So maybe not.
Would the answer be just to give completely vague answers for opinion leading questions? Because, well, I mean, like you say, giving AI is too much responsibility, like having that. But then it's also what's programmed into the AI is the opinion of the creator as well.
I wonder if they could just lead to an informational source. Like, say something like what she said, which is fine. And something, if you want to read more about feminism, there you go. Lead to whatever, a wiki page or something along those lines. So more educating than really stating her own opinion, their own opinion about that.
Yeah, definitely like they would do with other questions and sources of information.
Yeah. If you ask, sometimes you do get just random articles that's what I found on the web, blah, blah, blah about this. So that could happen with questions like this as well.
Mm-hmm. Out of curiosity, what happens when you ask Siri, what is feminism?
Hey Siri, what is feminism?
Feminism is a range of social movements, political movements, and ideologies that share a common goal to define, establish, and achieve the political, economic, personal, and social equality of the sexes. Do you want me to keep reading?
No, thanks.
I'm pretty impressed by that.
Yeah, it came up with it seemed like a Safari answer, so a web search, I guess.
Yeah, that's okay. That's, that seems to be better than what it has been. And I think a very proper response to all the discussion about it. So this article came out on the 6th of September. So as of recording, that's like 17 days ago.
Yeah.
And the fact that this has all been changed since then is, this is positive steps in the right direction.
Yeah. I think we need to shine the light on stuff like this so that changes can happen, because I think there is so much hidden underneath the surface that was so normal for such a long time and wasn't questioned in general. So it's good that it comes out more and more now. So that's
definitely
great.
Yeah. Speaking of coming out more, did you know that Kristen Stewart was told to tone down her sexuality if she wanted to bag Marvel roles?
Which I find very weird.
Super weird. Super weird.
I'm wondering, though, if that's actually people from Marvel telling her that, or someone else in the industry that then mentioned that. Anyway.
Well, she says in this article from NME.com, a recent interview with Harper's Bazaar, she says, I have fully been told if you just like do yourself a favor and don't go out holding your girlfriend's hand in public, you might get a Marvel role. So who told her that? I don't know. Could it have been her agent? Could it have been her? I don't think it was Marvel, but somebody has definitely told her that.
Yeah. I mean, if I think of the Marvel cast in general, I wouldn't say that the Marvel cast is particularly inclusive, besides Tessa Thompson being bi. Isn't she bi?
I think so, yeah.
Then that's about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Now, Kristen Stewart is openly bisexual, and she's dated in the past famous faces like Robert Pattinson and Stella Maxwell. Basically, Kristen Stewart's response to that was, fuck it. I am just going to enjoy my life. And being with who I want to be is part of that. And that's why she's chosen to be open about her sexuality and doesn't feel the need to explain herself.
Which I find great. Kristen Stewart is about to play in the reboot of Charlie's Angel, in case people. Charlie's Angels. It's too difficult. In case people. No, because I didn't know before I read the article. That totally passed me by. And she will be there together with Naomi Scott and Ella Balinska. I don't know how to pronounce her name properly, but yeah, those two people.
And it looks like it's going to be pretty awesome, full of badass feminist energy. And totally visually, like the representation from the women a much needed makeover from the one from the 70s, which was awesome. Let's not, like, not saying it wasn't awesome.
I don't even remember the one from the 70s. I'm just thinking about the one with Drew Barrymore.
Oh, yeah, that one was good too.
What's her face? Lucy Liu?
Yes.
And Cameron Diaz? Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that, but I mean, we generally hear and know that the industry of show business is hardcore. It has a lot of barriers for a lot of people. So that Kristen Stewart says, fuck it. I totally makes her more, likable on my end.
Definitely. And more relatable on my end as well. Yeah. Because yeah. And just as an aside, Charlie's Angels coming out in November and it's directed by Elizabeth Banks, who is like really fucking awesome. So I think I'll be going to see this, maybe with my mom, because I'll be in Florida with my mom.
Nice.
Very outspoken, very funny, and just pretty awesome feminist woman in Hollywood right now.
I'm curious how that movie goes then.
I'm pretty excited for it, actually. Now that I've always liked Charlie's Angels. I used to watch it on like Nick at Night and stuff, where they would reshow the old versions or the old shows. And it was always what I liked. So the more that I talk about this, I'm like, I'm actually really excited for it.
Yeah, maybe going to have a watch as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. So go Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
Stepping definitely out of the Twilight horror.
Oh, thank goodness. It's about time. And hopefully our pets will do the same thing with Batman. Just put that out there.
I was just thinking that it's interesting that it happens around the same time as our pets and Batman.
I'm Batman.
Maybe they made a pact, like, this is the time that we get rid of Twilight. We become really cool people again.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But speaking of cool people, some people become not so cool people somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard.
It's pretty hard. So Monica's talking about a recent Bust article that just comes right out and say, like, you know, let's stop making excuses for Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. We've covered this in previous episodes.
Yeah, she made waves a few months ago talking about playing acting roles that would normally be played by women of color and compared her acting to a tree, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And now she has taken a stance to defend Woody Allen.
Yeah, who has been long time accused of sexual assault. And sorry, did you know, because I did know this and I keep forgetting it because it's so weird, but he married his adopted daughter.
I just read that for the first time. I just know that there is something weird going on with him, but I've never really watched his stuff. So I'm not like a diehard fan at all. So sorry if I out myself here, but so that's why he was just weirdly passing me by. And I just knew that there was something weird about him. And I recall that I was just wondering, why is he still around then? But apparently he's that famous guy that is unbreakable in a way because of his genius or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have seen, like, loads of his stuff, to be honest.
But in general, apparently Scarlett Johansson is taking a stance for Woody Allen, which obviously doesn't fall great with a lot of other people, and especially the victims of the
sexual healing. Yeah, this is, I don't know, people are just, I don't, okay, so I'm like so torn of the opinion, like, okay, she can do what she wants to do, whatever, but then it's like what she says and how she supports. I don't know. It's, I just don't know how I feel about this.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Scarlett Johansson is like an enigma. She's so like outspoken, which is good. But then she's saying like previously about her movie roles and now standing up for Woody Allen. And yet she's also like heavily involved in the Me Too movement. which seeks to, which does support and stand up for and with victims of sexual assault. And it just, this confuses me, you know, because there's these sexual assault allegations against Woody Allen, and they're from like his daughter from back, like since he was a, she was a child, and even her brother, who's also respected in the Me Too movement, he like says that her claims are true. They're legit. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't wonder.
Yes, I do wonder how difficult it is if you know someone and if you have a relationship with someone in a certain way. I mean, it's not in a sexual way right now, but considering that Scarlett Johansson was working with Woody Allen in probably more than one films, but I'm just throwing that out there because I don't know if it's true, but I guess that there is a relationship out there between them. And if that has not been sexual at all, then I wonder how difficult it is if you know someone for a very long time, and if you, because not every sexual harasser is sexually harassing everyone and also has friends. So then it's the question of, yes, obviously, if we're standing here now, would you totally drop, would you say it means that you have to drop your friend as it is? It kind of does, but also on the other way, on the other side, would you if it were your friend?
I'm super torn about this because Scarlett Johansson is a usually outspoken feminist, but then recently she's been coming out with takes that are extraordinarily out of character from what it seems, out of character, out of real life, out of character, from what public image she seems to have displayed before. It's a weird one. It's a weird one, and it's happening, and I don't know, Scarlett, just take a back seat now. Just shut up. Stop talking.
I think in particular when it comes to the role situation, I think it's something that women who fought for being where they are can take very personal, because I assume that she and a lot of other actresses, female actresses obviously, had to work really hard to get to a point where they get really great roles and are at a place where often male actors are more often. So I think it's kind of like protecting her situation, her position in that space, which leads her to talk, to mention really stupid shit about all of that, because yeah, she could have been more diverse with how she answered. But that just didn't happen. And I feel that's also just a snapshot of when you meet someone at the wrong position, at the wrong time, at the wrong place. Because maybe she already had a bit bad day and said something shitty about that. I mean, that happens to all of us. That doesn't mean that's really what she's talking about. But it's or that's really what she means. But I feel you can get really protective of your own space when you had to work hard to get there. And I guess that could be happening as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe reconsider and think twice next time, Scarjo.
Yeah. I think that's all we'll say on that one.
Yeah. Still going to watch the movie though, I guess.
Me too. And next up in ambiguous actors that we're not sure how we feel about, we're going all the way back to something that we talked about in November. And we are giving an update on the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp lawsuit.
Groundhog Day. Yay.
Yay.
So apparently the two are now in a proper, or shortly before a proper lawsuit. Because even though they agreed that things which should be kept private, then Amber Heard wrote that article that we talked about where she publicly said, called Johnny Depp the wife beater, and now Johnny Depp is basically suing her for defamation, and now it's going to get really juicy. No, not juicy, but
dirty.
Yes, dirty is the proper word, because now they actually go to court for that, and Amber Heard is not amused.
She is not. She's worried that she's going to be demonized in the Depp lawsuit, and what's the details of it kept private, which, okay.
How do you know how American laws work?
No.
Is every lawsuit public,
basically? I think that you can basically have them closed, closed courtrooms, closed outcomes, and yeah.
I totally understand. On the one hand, I understand the fear that she has in general, just of her information being out there in the world, because we already saw, or when we talked about Gamergate, people just have no boundaries and people use whatever information they get to make someone else feel horrible. And specifically considering we're talking about a famous actor and his famous ex-wife, considering she now was in Aquaman, she's properly famous herself as well. There is probably a lot of shit happening on both sides, but often geared and aimed towards the female side of the situation, to basically fall into proper harassment cases. So I get that she's really worried about her private information being out there.
But I'm also wondering, I agree with everything that you're saying, but I'm also wondering, is she hiding something? Like, is she hiding, like, she doesn't want the, like, because Johnny Depp has, from the beginning, says that he was not the abuser, she was.
Yeah.
And so is something going to come out? And she, because she is such a strong advocate for women's rights and for domestic abuse and domestic violence victims, that is going to completely jeopardize the stand that she has built for herself, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said just a couple articles ago, I would be inclined to believe the victim, but this is just a strange, strange, emotionally draining case, I think, for everyone involved.
Yeah. I guess it's just in general difficult because both of the parties display themselves in a very specific light, right? So they are both actors. They both have the weapons and the skills to do stuff that other victims and accusers wouldn't have in that situation. Like, the victim usually is not capable of having a huge platform or doesn't have a huge platform that they can use to do stuff and to portray a picture of yourself, of themselves. Whereas Amber Heard can do that since she's pretty famous and married to a pretty famous person. So now they're both probably portraying themselves in a light that's not 100% the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is still not me saying she's not the victim, but I just think that that probably hurts more once you get to a place where you need to play with open cards. I mean,
definitely, especially article has released, or news has released in the past day or so, that says that Amber Heard, or Johnny Depp, is claiming that Amber Heard was using blackmail with a picture of him smoking drugs in a glass pipe. And I mean, this article doesn't say what kind of blackmail, but apparently these images have been used in court and they are now introduced into evidence in the case against Johnny Depp. So, okay, we already know that Johnny Depp has, you know, used drugs.
Well, probably still does.
Probably still does. So, like, this isn't, I fail to see what relevance these pictures have, because it's a fairly well-known assumption, I think, that Johnny Depp has a substance abuse problem.
I don't even think it's an assumption. Is it an assumption? I mean, people publicly know that he has drug problems, and if you watch him on various shows, you can't deny that there must be stuff going on occasionally.
True.
So
I'm just trying not to, like, outright accuse somebody.
Yeah, it's not even that. I don't think it's something that you can accuse people of. I think it's an addiction is something really horrible, and that is really something where I would say that's an issue and that's a disease. That's, yes, you made a few bad choices, but then you were just sliding down that slide, and there it goes with you. And I think it takes a lot of balls to get over that eventually. So I wouldn't even discredit him because he fell into that trap again, because I think that's just the nature of being an addict.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, like, I don't really know how this picture could be used as blackmail, because it's like a known fact.
Yeah.
But it's been g- given into evidence, and this case is just going to get louder and messier and crazier.
It's going to get really ugly. I mean, we're talking, yeah. I had to, at the end of this article, they stated the number of what he's suing her for now. And I didn't even, there were so many zeros. So it's $50 million, $50 million US. He's suing her for. I don't even think because of the $50 million, it would say that he can't be the abuser, allegedly the abuser. Because we know that people sue for high amounts of numbers, even though they're guilty. So,
oh yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Definitely interesting. One to watch, one to cringe, and one that's definitely, like we say, going to get super ugly.
Oh yeah, it's going to get ugly.
But the good news is that was the last sad and bad article that Ooh. We have for you this week. Now we're going to talk like some cool things coming up.
Yay.
So our next article, hang on, one of those articles was from Tom. We're just going to go back in time for a second and talk about Kristen Stewart. Thank you so much, Tom, for sending us that article. You're the best.
You're the best.
Belatedly. But we got there. And now we're talking about Ms. Monopoly. Thanks to Frasley from Dragon Pirate Studios for sending us in this article. So basically, we're getting a new version of Monopoly.
In order to address the gender pay gap.
Yeah, which it sounds pretty cool. It's totally focused on female CEOs, like women in business. And it's groundbreaking because women make more than men. So when they pass go, it's so cool. When passing go, any man who is playing this game of Monopoly is going to make $200, but a woman is going to make $240. And at the very beginning, when the bankers, you know, giving out all the money, women get 400 smackaroos more than men.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smackaroos.
Smackaroos. And, you know, other than like those financial things, this is going to be so groundbreaking for women because all of the tiles and all of the squares are going to be celebrating and women and women-led investments, innovations, things like chocolate chip cookies, bulletproof vests, solar heating, ladies' modern shapewear. Like this stuff is going to be really, really cool for young girls and whole families to learn about, really.
I'm not 100% sure how I approve of the person who created ladies' modern shapewear, but everything else I totally approve of.
Yeah, well, you know, I own shapewear and it's fine. Sometimes it's necessary to hold in your little rolls when you're wearing a nice dress.
Is it though? Is it though? Is it really though?
It's more comfortable to like have your bits kind of held in tight.
I never found that very comfortable. The thing that I just under the boobs. Whoop. It's pretty hard to go to pee with that one and stuff.
I like the one that comes down your legs a bit. So it's not, it helps with your chub rub and like it's definitely important things.
I do have those too. So that's one thing. I only have one of those starting from the legs and goes up to right under the boob, and it's not comfortable.
Oh. Anyways, whether they're comfortable or not, it's being celebrated in this.
And because it's made by a woman.
Yeah, you can't deny that it had an impact on modern society. So,
I mean, I can still question what impact it had on modern society, but sure. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's necessary to do the getting paid more situation.
Well, that's kind of the whole point, is that it's envisioning a world where women are in the current situation that men are in. Because right now in modern corporate America and many corporate places across the world, men get significantly more money than women.
Yes.
So this is addressing that, maybe tongue in cheek, I don't know, but it's definitely addressing it and it's definitely bringing it to light. And if like the men that you're playing with are like, hey, how come you get $40 more than me? Be like, how come you get paid $40 more than me every fucking week? And then it makes more male advocates in the actual corporate workplaces.
Amen to that. Yeah. I agree with you. I just wanted to push your finger. Ha ha
ha. And another really cool thing that Hasbro has done with this game They surprised three young female inventors with over $20,000 for real money.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that's really, really cool.
But the article doesn't state why and how they picked those three people, does it? Or at least no. I didn't. I thought there was something related to the game.
It did.
But that's awesome.
I don't know how, but it's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And even though one of these young girls, she's 13 years old, and she invented a device that detects lead in drinking water. When they interviewed her, she said that she didn't really know how big a pay gap there was in the gender, like in between men and women's pay. And she says, as a 13-year-old, I'm pretty impressed by this. She says, I think it's super important to talk about equal pay and that there's no such thing as boys' subjects and girls' subjects.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
13, man. 13.
I know. Super smart. Girls going places.
And also one is from Ireland who got the money.
Yeah.
Is that Ireland? Or is there Ireland in the US as well?
No.
You never know. They have everything twice.
I know.
So one is from Denver, one is from Connecticut, and apparently one is from Ireland.
She's from Northern Ireland, actually. She's from Londonderry, which is about 2 hours from me. And let's see, I just found a news article. She's only got 86 followers on Twitter.
That's not something we can leave like the way it is.
No. So following her right now because badass 16-year-old girl, you're going places.
We can link her in the show notes. She's called Ava Kenny.
Yeah, we can. I only looked her up because I was like, I was just curious. And yeah, I'm trying to see what she won it for. Something about medications or testing medications for what ingredients they contain.
Okay.
Anyways, super cool and definitely going to be intrigued by playing it.
Nice. She's 16, though.
I know. So young. So young. So innovative. So
smart.
Love it.
Awesome. Ava Kenny invented a spectrometer that measures the amount of dye in candy and soda. After studying the harmful effects of additives in our food, Ava set out to help make educated decisions about the toxins they put into their bodies.
Cool, cool beans.
Moving from three amazing young inventors over to something else amazing that's flying around. Wow, that was the worst segue we've ever had.
It was pretty bad, not going to lie.
Not going to lie. Mm-hmm.
So Cecile Castellucci is writing a new Batgirl, and we have all been waiting for it.
100%. Though I am very confused. Batgirl and Batwoman are not the same person, right?
No.
Okay. Very confusing.
I know. Yeah. So she, Cecile Castellucci, you might also know her as Cecile Seaskull. She's a American-born Canadian young adult novelist, indie rocker, and director who currently lives in LA. And she has this awesome new role writing Batgirl comics.
Is she writing them or is she drawing them as well? Apparently writing only.
I think writing only, yeah.
But I recall that in our animated manga episode, someone mentioned that happens from the same person, whereas in comics it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a really interesting comic series because, yes, Batgirl, aka Barbara Gordon, was introduced back in 1967 through DC. She has been featured on and off, and this is her first solo appearance, her very first like comic book directly about her. So basically her story is quite hard. Back in 1988, she was shot as a civilian by the Joker, and the shooting caused her to become paralyzed. So her story evolved over the years. She became the Oracle, who was a computer whiz working with Batman to solve crimes, which is pretty cool. And now Castellucci is bringing her alive again as Batgirl. And she says, you can't write Batgirl and not address her trauma.
I like that. Also, yeah. If you heard Gordon, you're fairly correct because she's the daughter of Commissioner Gordon that was working with Batman in general.
Yeah. So back in the 80s, this comic and specifically the shooting of Barbara Gordon, it brought on a big debate on how women and violence against women are depicted in comics. So it has been kind of instrumental in changing and shaping the way that comics are written. So I think it's going to be a heavy comic series that is going to address a lot of needed issues for our modern geek girls.
She's not the Castellucci is not the first woman who will repeat writing for, or who will write for Batgirl, but the previous writer, Margaret Scott, sorry if the pronunciation is totally off. It's written very weirdly.
Oh, that's Irish. It's Mairead.
Oh, geez. Thank you. Yeah. Mairead.
You're welcome.
See? Spot on me. Yeah, she was writing Batgirl before Castellucci did. So I really appreciate that there's a lot of females writing these comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sam Max, who's writing for Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
So jealous. Cool. Then where one comic book is $30 just to send it to me.
Oh,
that's the worst.
Super bad.
But yeah, pretty cool. And the graphics that we see in that article is pretty hard and rough and bloody and so tough stuff.
Super tough stuff. Yeah. So congratulations, Cecile. Excited to see what you bring to the comics.
Fuck yeah.
And lastly, we're going to leave you on a more lighthearted, but still quite serious and very British note.
Very British. I love those British notes.
Yes. So last Geek Girl in the News, we talked about how there were some adverts that showed gender stereotypes in a pretty shit way.
Yeah.
Well, now we have a local Lincolnshire fire and rescue department who are dropping the famous, the one and only fireman Sam as their mascot because it was complained that he wasn't inclusive or representative of the fire department.
Considering when you think of what fireman Sam gets switched for or switched by or what they use instead of fireman Sam now.
Yeah, well, I think they have for years used these two fire extinguishers as their mascots. And now Fireman Sam is just no longer going to be in the picture.
And they have names, though. They're not just fire extinguishers. They are Freddy and Filbert.
Freddy and Filbert, the fire extinguishers.
Fire extinguishers. That's so hard to pronounce, man.
It should be Freddy and Frida because, I mean, like, Filbert is also a guy. So Freddy and Frida would be much more representative of their fire service.
Like what did you say previously?
I said, yeah. Sorry, it made me laugh. Well, Monica was saying before our show that she thinks that this is only a small portion. Really, we should be talking about how Fireman Sam himself isn't inclusive. And I was like, you know, this is just the precursor. This is the first thing. And maybe Fireman Sam will evolve. This is Fireman Sam, the TV show for people who don't know. Fireman Sam will evolve to be Fire People Sam and Pam.
Still cracks me up, Fire People Sam and Pam. Yeah, I feel it could be a good pointer towards a direction where all the TV series and all the kids shows, they have more strong female characters in them because it's also like Bob the Builder and Fireman Sam and, well, Peppa Pig
Postman Pat.
Peppa Pig is probably female, but she's also a pig. So I don't know how great with representation that one is. But yeah,
I know.
Maybe it just gives a good pointer towards the industry that yes, we can create shows for little kids that show a lot of strong female characters. But since I don't have a kid, I really can't say if that's not already going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know modern kids shows. But I will say that Fireman Sam, as the show, has recently been under the microscope because there was a petition to change his name from Fireman Sam to Firefighter Sam so that it's already more gender neutral, just with a wee switch of the language.
Interesting. I like that. Sometimes yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah. So while obviously there has been a lot of complaints because this is Great Britain, and they say inclusivity gone too far. But I think this is great. And I think that we need to talk about stuff like this more and make these changes. And I am down for Lincolnshire County Council. I think you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Yes. Go Freddie and Filbert. Freddie and Frida. Consider it.
Yeah, consider it.
Consider it. Awesome. That was it for this month, I guess.
Yeah, that was a big one. It was kind of a heavy episode. So we would love to know what you think about some of those articles, all of them, even one of them. Let us know what you think. You can find us on social media, or even better, why not join us over in the Dragon Power Studio Discord, where you can join in lots of discussion with the other members of the podcast network and the people who love us.
Yes, you can do that at geekhearing.com/Discord.
Woohoo! We will see you there and next week for another really great episode of Geek Herring.
Obviously, as always.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening this week and see you next one.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.